This is a People First Radio podcast.
Paul Tedeschini is putting his life story on stage, and he's entrusting its direction to his wife, Nicole Natras. The pair are getting ready for opening night of Clownfish, which is coming to Nanaimo's OV Arts Center later this month. It's part of a series of plays from Western Edge Theatre exploring men's mental health. I spoke with the creative duo behind Clownfish.
Well, my name's Paul Tedeschini. I'm the writer and the performer of the theater piece Clownfish.
Hi, my name's Nicole Natras, and I'm an actor, playwright, dramaturg, and director, and I'm really excited to be working as a director on the remount of this production of Clownfish.
And what is Clownfish
about? What is Clownfish?
Clownfish is, I would describe it as an autobiographical story. My story of, in my mid-20s, moving away from the city I was born and raised in, Edmonton, Alberta, and moving to Toronto, the big city of Tirana.
The big smoke.
Yep. And my experiences, my journey in the big city, and then moving away from the big city here to Vancouver Island to basically present day.
And I understand that this is one of a series of performance pieces interweaving themes of men's mental health. Can you tell me about that idea?
Yes. Well, the my journey involves, my journey through my own struggles and challenges with my own mental health and the different experiences I've had in dealing with it and working through it and sharing that journey is a big part of the show.
Now, how does the geographical journey you went on from Edmonton to Toronto, the big smoke, to here on Vancouver Island, how does that interweave and how does that mirror in with the mental or emotional journey that you went on?
It connects in that the experiences I had in Toronto, in the city, just being in a big city, the challenges of being in that environment, the career path I chose during that time.
What was your career path?
I started my career path started as a musician, then I got into performing and acting while I was there, and so that was the bulk of what I was doing while I was there. And then moving, you know, from that environment, that, yeah, it's you know, mindset, that approach to life in a big city, no matter what career you're pursuing. And Toronto is a, you know, it's a machine, it's a career. People go there for their careers, of course. And what that does to an individual, or what it did to me and how it affected me. And then we moved to the island in 2007, and literally to a completely different world, and the effect that that has had on me, not only in terms of career, but just as a person and being here and what being here is like, from the environment to the people to work, all of those things.
And I want to dive into that and maybe hear from both of you a little bit about what it is like working in the theater industry and world here in Nanaimo, maybe with hovering in the background what Paul just said about Toronto and it being a machine.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think from my lens, I was in Toronto as well. You know, I went to U of Vic and then went to Vancouver, went to Toronto, I've been all across Canada. And so when we think about the career as an actor or as a performer, any kind of performer, right, self-care is key, right? And it can be stressful on your mental health. It can be stressful on your physical health. So any career, no matter what city you're in, you can be really challenged, right? And then we know with funding, with cost of living, with all of those factors can be really stressful. And also, you know, it's kind of an ironic situation. You're in a big city, you're trying to survive, you're doing all these things. You have opportunities to see so much. You also need money to see all those things. And even with free festivals and stuff, you're kind of inundated with all of this stimulation. And I think that can be really positive. And it can also be kind of negative, depending on what state you're in. And one of the things that I noticed after being in Toronto for a number of years and then moving, we actually live in Lanceville. So you know, we went from like downtown Toronto Kensington Market to tiny little village by the sea where you can hear seals all the time, is that since there wasn't that outside external stimulation, I was able to listen more deeply into what actually I wanted to express. And so you're also looking at it from a different lens of not a competitive lens of like a ladder, you know, how can I get my next? You're still thinking about those things, but it's more of a community. It's more like, how do we support each other? And that's one thing that I really love about Nanaimo. It's one thing that I really love about Western Edge Theatre is that, you know, in this particular year, last year was really focused on women's plays and women's voices, and this year it's focused on men's and really supporting men's mental health, because mental health is an important issue for all of us no matter what we do, right? So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds a little bit like some parts of your kind of arc and journey mirror what is shared in the story, what is Paul's story. When you're working on something that is someone else's kind of autobiographical work, how do you bring yourself into that world? How do you connect to it?
Well, that's an interesting question, because we're actually married. So also what's really interesting about that is that I've also written my own show called Suddenly 50. And so it's kind of, people have seen both of our shows, Suddenly 50 and Clownfish. And actually last year, our shows were programmed together because they kind of offer interesting but different perspectives on the same experience. So that's been interesting. I've never worked with Paul as a director before. He worked with the original directors, TJ Daw, who is, you know, an amazing fringe one-person show guru, amazing guy. But it's been really cool now that I've seen Paul's show. We've done our shows together. We've done talkbacks together. It's really interesting to be working and supporting his voice and his perspective.
And again, for both of you, what's it like to already be married and then, you know, have someone directing, having your spouse directing your show or directing your spouse's show for the first time?
Well, I mean, to be totally honest, it could have been a disaster, but I'm grateful to say that it has not been at all. It's been amazing. I have to preface this always when I'm talking to people. Nicole has been amazing. And I'm not just saying that because she's my wife.
And I'm not just saying that because he's my husband. But
that's
it's true.
That's going to be the next show.
But just to frame this too, it's like when Paul and I met in Toronto. Sorry to interrupt. But when Paul and I met in Toronto, like that's one of the pieces of us falling in love with each other was our respect for our creative work. And so when you have a foundation where it's actually built in respect for this person's work, like when I first saw Paul perform and his particular style is very unique. There's a majestic quality to it. It's one of the reasons why I fell in love with him. And, you know, we have been married since 2006. We met in 2000. So, you know, we met in Toronto. We have a long history together where it serves us, right?
Yeah, it does. And so I trust Nicole. I've seen Nicole perform. I know her writing, and she's fantastic. She's excellent. She's an excellent director. She's an amazing dramaturg. She's just mined so much in the piece and brought things to the surface and asked questions that I couldn't be happier to be presenting this version of the show for our community, because it started, you know, this kind of version of the show, it started as an audio only piece where the audience literally would sit in the theater and just listen to the show, because it came out of COVID where things were changing and shifting. And that seemed like, oh, this might be kind of cool because everybody's open to different things. And TG and I were talking about that as like, yeah, it could be like an old time radio or, record listening party or something, but they're going to listen to the show in the theater anyhow. So as it progressed though, and in 2024, the Belfry Theater invited me to do the show as part of their Spark Festival. And I decided, well, I want it to be live. I want live elements. I want to be on stage. I was getting more comfortable getting back into performing. And it's just grown from there each time I've done it since Spark. And this is the next level in terms of expanding and making it more dynamic. And Nicole can speak to that. But anyways, she has been great. And it's been a lot of fun working together in this way.
Yeah, and it is like the audio is still such a strong element. You know, Paul is he's a voiceover artist. He's a musician, editor, sound designer. So when you hear the sound, it's quite an amazing experience. And then when you add the visuals, so there's projections and slides of the environment, of being in Toronto, in the city of art, it really is an immersive experience for the senses as well. So then I'm working with Paul. I'm kind of a reluctant director, so I've directed a few solo shows, but I never really felt like the urge to be a director. You know, I've always been more comfortable as a writer, an actor, you know, as a script consultant. That's the fancy word for that is a dramaturg. But so directing this show is actually kind of gotten me excited. I've assistant directed a lot of things, but directing this show has made me excited. Like, maybe I want to see what, you know, life in my mid-50s as a director is like. So that's really inspiring. And you know, working within the medium of clown and talking about clown is really, really beautiful. And the other piece in the show that I want to highlight is just the environment, the nature, like where we live. That influences us, like being near the water, being near wildlife, being on the land, our relationship to the land. It influences you so much. I mean, when I moved to Toronto, everyone kept saying when I missed the ocean, right? They'd say, well, go to the lake. And I can't find the lake because I'm super short. And they'd be like, well, you just look for the CN Tower. I'd be like, I can't see the CN Tower, whatever. And so just that has a big impact on our mental health. Right? Like our environment. I'm sure we all felt that during COVID, right? Like,
which, while I was living in Toronto, if you had told me that, I would have cynically been like, yeah, right.
How long were you there for?
I know better now. 16 years I lived in Toronto.
He had a tail when I met him.
Bit ratty.
You're listening to People First Radio. Paul Tedeschini and Nicole Natris are a husband and wife team putting Clownfish on the stage. It's a theater show based on Tedeschini's life. He's the writer and performer. Natris is directing. The show touches on men's mental health and explores themes of substance use, anxiety, death, and grief. It also covers a journey across Canada, from Edmonton to Toronto to Vancouver Island. Tedeschini's life story also took him and Natris to CHLY this week, where they spoke with me about the show. Well, Paul, you mentioned that you are excited to perform this for the community here in Nanaimo. What do you think changes, or what do you think is specific to you putting on this show here in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island, as opposed to if you were to be mounting it on the stage in, I don't know, Edmonton or Toronto or wherever else?
Well, I just want to say, first and foremost, the community here is a community that, and this from what I know, has only been in the last couple of years. This community has really come together because there's a huge community theater component in BC, I think more than any other province in Canada, possibly. That's I had never been exposed to, which is really interesting and exciting. The people who do it they're so passionate and they care. And these are volunteers. Nobody's getting paid. But you wouldn't know it. I mean, everybody's like, they want to do their best work, and it's amazing. And then you have Western Edge. Up until recently, there was Theater One, and up until a couple of years ago, what I was going to say is that the groups were kind of in their own silos, as they say, but that's changed a lot. And Western Edge and Jonathan's been very instrumental, Jonathan Greenway, the artistic director at Western Edge, in bringing the community theater groups and Western Edge together to work together, to cooperate. And I would also say Crimson Coast Dance is part of the community, of course. Holly Bright, truly one of the hardest working people in the arts community in Nanaimo, no doubt about it. And so there's a camaraderie, there's a support, there is a lack of competition, and as Nicole referenced, ladder climbing here, that just you get in a big city, because that's, again, as I said about Toronto, whether it's Vancouver, what have you, people trying to, you know, accelerate or move forward in their careers, which is natural. It's not, it's just the way it is. And here it's more like you just want to do good work. And the most important thing is to support each other and know that everyone's just trying to do the best that they can. And that support is the most important thing.
Yeah, and I would add to that that in our community, the difference is that there's also a real interest in community supporting other community members. So like mentorship, and like I've really noticed that since we moved here, there's like a lot of more younger and not even younger, I just mean like emerging artists and mid-career artists that are, everyone's supporting each other and like, hey, can I help you out with this audition piece? And Truth and the Reconciliation Theater is happening. And there's so many like little theaters joining together rather than, hey, being like, we're doing this and look at us. It's more of a, we care about each other. We want to see audiences come out. And maybe that's, again, a result of COVID, because, you know, we lost a lot of audiences during COVID. People stopped going out to live events. Music was hugely affected. Like, so much was affected, right? Yeah. So it's this idea of everyone coming together and doing good work, supporting, trying to get our venues together, like using the OV Arts Center, trying to engage the community. You know, hopefully we'll have some folks come out. Doing talkbacks after the show engages audience. You know, the last show, Baker's Dozen, Ward Norcott, and Jonathan did such a great job of having resources there for the community. If someone was struggling, like, here's some resources that we can go to. Like, yeah. It's just a feeling that we all have to do that together. Like, in my opinion, I'm also a counselor, and in my opinion, it's just that we need to start to share resources. We can't be in silos anymore, because, you know, people are struggling, right? Including artists.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just want to say one quick acknowledgement as well as Frank Moore, who, you know, was the artistic director at Western Edge for many, many years and kept it alive. And it's one of the reasons it is still alive.
And so they're doing his show next.
That's right. Yeah. Frank's show
Boy
is
Player.
The next one.
Yeah. Which is going to be amazing. And that's an autobiographical mm-hmm. story as well, that he's done, a one-man show.
Those themes of community that both Paul and Nicole, you were both talking about, mm-hmm. They kind of mirror the themes of the show. Like, when we talk about men's mental health and that being kind of the essence of this autobiographical journey across, well, Canada and across kind of artistic and cultural professions, is kind of the solution or the light at the end of the tunnel, some kind of like community approach to those issues, as opposed to the kind of living in Toronto, climbing the ladder, rat race, you have a tail, set of circumstances?
I would say most definitely. It's one of the key components to, what's the word? A good mental health. Being healthy. There are many components, but one of the things I've, come to realize, and it wouldn't have happened if we weren't here, is just that, is we need each other.
Yeah, and I think that's the piece of that really stood out to me about this piece more than ever, is like we need good medicine, right? Like we need medicine. So what is medicine for our mental wellness? What is medicine for your family? What is medicine for your community? And art has that ability. Good storytelling has that ability. And so there's laughter. There's a lot of laughter. There's also serious subjects. And for me, it's also just about like, how do you heal? Like, I'm not interested in debates on which modality and which works and which is better and which is right and which is wrong. It's like, all that really matters is that you get there, right? That you have some healing and support.
And ultimately that this show is an opportunity for everyone who comes to see it, no matter what, whether they like it or not. I can't control that, but I would hope that by seeing it, they can at least know they're not alone in whatever their struggles are, mm-hmm. and everybody has them. And to be able to go, wow, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I love what you're saying about you're not alone, because generally, when we go to see the artist has the ability to sometimes vocalize and verbalize and show us things that maybe we've only thought in our own head, but to see that outside of ourselves could be really, really life-changing, right? I've certainly heard that when I perform my shows, people have said, like, I've thought that, but I've never said it out loud. So I hope that folks have that experience and recognize, like, okay, you know what? We're human. Like, I guess that's the other thing with everything that's going on in the world. We're talking about this with AI and stuff. It's like bringing back the humanity, and the community connection is more important, I think, than anything. And when we're in the theater and we go to the theater, amazing things happen. Like, everybody's heartbeat regulates at the same beat. Like, that's a real thing, right? That brings everybody together, that co-regulation piece.
And shared experience.
And, yeah. So we're hoping, like, folks laugh, and they will laugh at Paul.
If I'm doing my job.
And it's visually really, really stunning. The sound is, again, it's an immersive experience. So it's like a cross between, I don't know, going to the art gallery with a podcast, with a symphony of sound,
concert,
with live performance, with a clown turn, with I don't want to give away some of the things, but it's a really unique experience and theatrical experience.
Is there anything you think it's important for people to know going into the show as audience members?
There are some subject matters that are, we'll have some content notes so that folks know on the website, but the show does talk about substance misuse. So it talks about that. Also talks about grief, death, and mental health, anxiety, depression, those pieces. So those will of course, we want to warn people beforehand. But other than that, there are no clowns or fishes harmed in this production. I just wanted to float that out and see whether it's funny or not.
Everybody knows.
There's no clowns. There are no scary clowns that are going to come out.
There's no circus.
There's
clowns.
No it.
Yeah.
There's no, and there's no fish on stage. Clown fish is it.
Clown fish.
If someone is out there, they're living on Vancouver Island, what would you say to them to come and get them sitting down and taking in the show?
Well, I would say that you probably haven't seen a show like this before. And just for the experience of that alone is worth the price of admission to be able to experience something different. And I guarantee that even if you don't love it, you will enjoy it very much.
That's great. That's very modest of you.
Well, I am a Canadian.
It's very polite. Yeah. Yeah. I just think for anyone who's ever wanted to have a career and struggle and have goals and come, because there's a lot that's universal in this piece. And there's a lot of it that is weird and wacky and fun. And go ahead.
No, just again, that the other part is what I was saying earlier, which is I would love for everyone to see it, also to just be able to have an experience that will let them or confirm for them that they are not alone in any of their challenges or struggles, and that we all have them, and they're
and hopefully be inspired if, you know, you are needing support, any kind of support, that when you see the show, you're like, okay, no, I can ask for support, or I can ask for help, or I can talk to my friend about it, or I'm going to think about my own losses. Like, I want that reflection to be for that audience member, right? Yeah.
Paul, Nicole, before I let you go, is there anything else either of you think it's important to bring to the conversation or let people know about the show today?
That we're excited to have talkbacks on opening. We're going to have a talkback. The other great thing about Western Edge is they have preview before opening, but then the following Thursday is kind of a cheaper ticket price. So I love that accessibility there. So I'd point that out. And we'll be doing talkbacks, I think, the following week as well. Friday, Saturday, Sunday has the final Sunday has a closing matinee for anybody who just finds it easier to get out during the day, not at night.
So it's the last 2 weeks of February.
Yeah.
It opens the 20th and then closes March 1st. But it's on the Western Edge website, all the dates and times. So,
yeah, bring your Valentine's date later. Late. Okay, so it's not really a Valentine's Day show, but
it'll
you could.
Be a very.
An interesting date night conversation afterwards. Well.
It will be, especially after. 6 days after it, in fact. But, well, you know, whatever.
Let's debrief this.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, Nicole, thank you very much for coming on down to CHLY to talk.
Thanks so much,
Joe. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
Paul Tedeschini and Nicole Natris are a creative duo at the heart of Clownfish, an autobiographical theater piece that tells Tedeschini's life story. It is coming to Nanaimo from February 20th. Through March 1st, just a little bit after Valentine's Day. The show is going to be on stage at the OV Arts Center in Nanaimo.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.